Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It's a victory reaction Monday after your Texans go into Indianapolis. And I will quote one Jake Andrews from the locker room yesterday. Mm-hmm. Walk into your trap, take over your trap. He said that on Titus Howard's Instagram Live, which, mind you, hey, Titus. Jake Andrews said it, right? In the video, you got Trent Brown. Jarrett Patterson appears in it. I feel like Trent Brown has a little reason to be mad at Titus Howard because Titus Howard is panning in the locker room as he's changing. That man had no pants on. Like, thankfully, he had a towel in front of himself. I was like, hey, man, come on. Let's take that video a little bit later. Let me make sure I get my pants on. But, yes, walk in your trap, take over your trap is indeed – what the Texans did in Indianapolis, getting a win at Lucas Oil Stadium, 20-16, win number one versus the Colts. You have an opportunity to do it again in Week 18, which only God knows where that one stands by the time you get there. Like the Colts, with the way that their schedule is situated, they very well could not be playing for anything at that point.
Yeah, they could be out. And by the way, you'll be hearing about going into Indianapolis and getting that dub from D'Amico Ryans here in just a minute. But it does lead to the discussion of, the Jaguars, they got to be feeling really good about their chances right now.
Yeah.
The Jaguars are it.
I think so. Yeah. We just talked about the fact that they were playing the Titans yesterday. They didn't run the football well. They threw the football for like a few yards, 229 yards is what Trevor Lawrence had. It's not like they had a crazy offensive numbers game, but – yeah, they're winning games, and you look at the remainder of their schedule, and it is probably as easy as they come.
Colts at home, and then the Jets at home. They go to the Broncos, and then back to the Colts, and then the Titans to end the year, which Titans at home to end the year, and if they're playing for
they might not even show up.
If they're playing for a division at that point, that'd be pretty. I'd be feeling pretty good about things.
Are we rooting for like the Colts to find a little bit of themselves just against the Jags and just them beat up against each other
and
win the division here?
Yeah, I think so, because you still have the Colts at home to end the year, so you want the Jags to take that L.
All right.
Which just feels weird.
Yeah, but the thing is, very clearly, division is winnable. Division is winnable here.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if it's a given, but I playing with the Athletics playoff simulator. Because that's just now a part of who I am in this stretch. The Texans are above 50% on chances to win, get into the playoffs as of right now. I believe 63% is the number, if memory serves, as of right now on chances to make the playoffs as we sit.
You got to love it. And you got to believe that it's more than fair. I feel really good. Hell, that was the question of the day. You know, like can they do it? Yes, I think they can.
Now, one of the things that will annoy me is if you make the playoffs, but then you allow the margins to be too thin for you to do things. And one of the things that will slim your margins always is situational game management. And as much as there was a lot of good in this game, watching the end of the first half was infuriating, John Lopez.
It was awful. We were texting while it was happening. The clock, letting the clock run, not understanding, you know, the time and concept of what you were doing. It was pretty bad.
We'll talk more about it. In fact, I'm interested to see if D'Amico Ryans is asked about it. So let's go there. Let's go to NRG Stadium and hear D'Amico Ryans talk to the assembled media right here.
D'Amico, how do you arrive at the decision to go for it on the fourth down, your next to last offensive drive?
Yeah, during that series, we were driving the ball down. Felt really good of how we were driving the ball. Honestly, on the first third down, I felt like we got it. I felt we had really good movement, and I told the guys to do it again. Just being aggressive there, that's my call as the head coach. I'm aggressive, so, hey, it didn't work. That happens sometimes, but it's not going to stop me from being aggressive.
What kind of factors into your aggressiveness? How much do you kind of lean on, like, I guess the advanced numbers and things of that nature, the percentages and whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, there's always numbers, analytics, but it's also a feel. When I see our guys move the pile there on third and one like they moved it, I feel like we could have did it again. And so I'm not going back on that decision there.
Was there any consideration to challenge that spot? It kind of looked like Stover had kind of got over in the past line. Was there any consideration?
They already confirmed it. And so it was, I couldn't challenge it at that point.
Jalen Reed with the break there. Do you feel like that's season ending or
Reed, we'll see, you know, how he continues to progress with the arm injury. Don't think it's season ending, so we'll see how he progresses.
And Jimmy Ward, do you have an update? Is there any
update on Jimmy Ward?
Jimmy, when you go back and look at the film from yesterday, all the different things that went on, what's your biggest takeaway other than just you guys finished from yesterday's game?
Yeah, my biggest takeaway is always I'm excited that we got the win. But I think the biggest takeaway for me is we left so much out there, right? And there's still so many things where we can actually – so many things we could do better. And I know it's tough to say that, but it is some small things, some things I know we can do better, things we've worked, things we can clean up technique-wise, fundamental-wise. I just feel like we still left a lot of plays out there, and that's my challenge to our guys. It's always how do you get better? You know, don't just rest on, oh, we won and be happy with winning. It's all about continue to learn in a win or a loss. What do you learn from it and how you keep pushing the envelope to get even better?
D'Amico, on one side, you all haven't always been able to score touchdowns, but on the other side, you all have moved the ball, kept the ball out of the other team's hands offensively. How do you put that into perspective? Or does that give you optimism? Do you feel like you still need – obviously you feel like you still need more, but how do you put that into perspective?
Offensively, I feel like we've moved the ball, you know, really well. And, of course, we can still get better in the red zone as finishing with touchdowns, but I think we're moving it well. It always starts there. You know, whatever you want to do offensively, you got to move the football. I thought we did a good job on first down, mixing in some of our play action passes, running the ball. I thought it was a good mix of plays on first down that gave us the advantage there. We were able to get some explosives on first down, passing the football. And so, you know, you keep pressing forward. You keep trying to get as many yards as possible, get in the red zone, and then that's where, you know, you try to strike and score points.
There were two plays where Colts, they sent Heath with the 11 drop back from CJ, but you guys, for the majority of the time, were able to pick it up. How have you guys been able to progress so much to this point to where, like, when teams send blitzes at you guys are able to pick it up consistently now?
It's credit to the coaches, starting with Kaylee and the offensive staff. They've done a really good job of really emphasizing and walking through the pressure looks that we'll see. And credit to the players. They executed it the right way. I think Woody has stepped up and did a really nice job, you know, in protection. He's improved the protection, how we're communicating up front. Like, we did a really great job, probably one of our better jobs yesterday of picking up the blitzes that they were bringing and kind of got them out of some of those blitzes. And not just picking it up, I thought CJ did a great job of answering some of those blitzes, getting the ball to Nico on one down the field on a deep end cut. So it's collectively, coaches, players, everybody working well at it. But it starts how we practice, how guys are attentive to the details in their meetings and walking through to fix some of the issues that we had earlier with those blitzes.
You guys had some success with the reverse and also with the pitch out to the chug. Do you feel like with the red zone that you guys are becoming more creative, finding solutions there? Like, obviously, early in the season, it was what it was, but where you're at now?
And for us as a coaching staff, we're willing to do whatever it takes to try to improve. We won't continue to do the same things. I feel like they've done a really good job offensively of, you know, adding some non-traditional type plays in the red zone to put us in position to score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Aggressive early. Now you're getting ready to go to play a team that has a head coach that, you know, every series is four downs for him. Do you, when you're game planning for that, do you go with that mindset to match it as well? Or do you go and match it as far as the aggressiveness is concerned, as far as going for it on fourth down and things like that?
It really, for me, just looking at it, fourth downs, I feel like we have an advantage. Do I feel like we have plays that are good enough to win on fourth down? So not just going in just because they're an aggressive team on fourth down, want to put the team in the best possible spot. And going back to our game, I felt like I wanted to continue to drive down and end up scoring so we could have a two-possession lead there and really put the game out of reach at that point, because our offense did such a great job of driving the ball down that those positive plays which they showed, that allowed me to be aggressive because I felt like we would continue to move the football.
A lot of Taylor's rushes were for 3 yards or less. How were you guys able to achieve that as a defense? And when you're having that success, what kind of stress did you see that put on the Colts' offensive game plan?
Yeah, Taylor did he's a tough back. I thought our guys did a really good job of tackling. That's what allowed us to really stop the run, not allowing those guys to get over 100 yards. It was how we tackled. Everybody tackled really well, from our safeties to linebackers, D-linemen. And if one guy missed, like, guys were still there. We swarmed the football, did a really good job of tackling.
Can you just talk about week 12, all the things that you guys have gone through to get to this point, and every week your message has been the same, but how you get the team and the staff just to buy into that?
Yeah, for me, you know, if your message is changing every week and you guys may feel like you have to do something different, I feel like the game of football, you don't have to make something up. You don't have to do something different. All the work you put in training camp, all the rules that you taught, all those things, like, it doesn't change. Like, and so I don't make up things for our guys. I don't make it bigger than it is. It's continue to control the controllables, focus on exactly what we can do to put ourselves in position to win games, focus on yourself as an individual, not staying status quo. How are you really pushing yourself to get better? How are you studying a little extra? How are you working a little extra in practice? How are you working a little extra in your recovery process? That's all that I preach to the guys, and I'll continue to preach that, because I know that's what truly matters when the game is on the line.
Go ahead. What was the goal at the end of the first half? Were y'all trying to get points? Were y'all trying to kind of balance aggressiveness with maybe not aggressiveness?
Yeah, we're trying to get points there. I mean, we are trying to get points. We didn't execute how we wanted to execute at the end of the half. If we get the first down, we're in a good spot there. Want to finish vertical there. Thought Higgins did a great job of catching the football, but we got to finish vertical, get the first down there, then we're in position to go ahead and try to get points.
Coach, outside of that defensive line, you have a lot of players on that. What goes into the rotation as far as, you know, having them in and having them out? Because I know when you have players like, you know, Daniil and Will, they want to play the whole game. But what goes into, is there a script or is there a feel?
Yeah. Coach Rod does a great job with the substitutions. That's up to him with the substitutions and how he's rolling the guys. You know, we take 9 guys to the game. So the idea behind is we want those guys as fresh as possible when they're in there. We don't want our guys having to play, you know, full 60 plays. We want them when they're out there, we want them giving everything that they possibly have, because we ask a lot of our D-line, we put a lot on them. So to do that, you have to be as fresh as possible. So Coach Rod has done a really great job of rotating and mixing those guys in accordingly.
Feels like Dalton and Woody have kind of been battling, but they've been there throughout, stayed on the field. When we talk about toughness, how much do those two guys kind of create the toughness that you want for this team?
Yeah, you know, for me, I feel like everybody has to be tough to play here for me. It's a toughness, first off, a mental toughness, right, to understand your assignments, what you have to do, but also a physical toughness to push through the nicks and bumps that you have. I expect everybody to push through those, because that's what NFL football is about.
With Jalen's recent injury, and then, of course, you've got MJ, Jimmy, do you anticipate having to go outside to find somebody, and how do you handle it when you're kind of suffering at that one particular position?
Yeah, we'll find a way. We'll find a way. Don't feel like we have to go outside to do that, but we'll find a way.
Sting had that big pass breakup at the end, and now he's allowed just three catches over the past 4 games. Just what can you say about the way that he's playing the game right now?
Yeah, Stingley's done a great job all year. He's done a great job of, you know, just handling his business, doing it the right way, working hard in practice, showing up in games when it's his opportunity to make plays. He finds a way to make those plays.
You talk about aggressiveness and going for it, not going for it. You know, there was some chatter about when to go for it in that Eagles-Bears game. Kind of want to get your take on, like, when they went for it on 2-point conversion or whatnot, because I think they went a little bit early. What's not necessarily your philosophy, but what's just kind of your viewpoint on, if you're down hypothetically by 8, you score, not by 8, but if you're down 2 possessions, 15, and you go for it, does it make sense to go for it earlier, or make sense to go for it at the end, right, to kind of know where you're at in that position? If you're down 15, you score on, let's say, 5 minutes for the fourth quarter, does it make sense to go for it then, or wait till the last time when you get the ball back to, you know, try to see if you can get for it?
With the 2-point conversions, I think every coach, there's 32 head coaches in the league, and everybody has their philosophy of how they want to handle it. That's why they're the head coach. Everybody else has an opinion about how it should be handled. Everybody feels like, hey, it's right if it works. If it doesn't work, then, hey, you're an idiot for not doing it. So it's that's the nature of our job as head coaches, and I wear that burden, and now, you know, it's okay. It's all right. I got your question, though. I got you.
All right, there you go. D'Amico Ryans talking to the Assemble Media, deciding to not weigh in on the – I mean, this is real big on NFL Twitter if you are a part of this.
Yeah.
The notion of, do you go for it if you're down 8 with a probably – as DJ was trying to set up there, mm-hmm, about 5 minutes ago, the idea being you're down 2 scores, you score a touchdown. Do you go for your 2-point conversion there? Or do you wait? Do you just kick your extra point and hope that you can get the touchdown on the back end? And then
that was
kind of
weird what the Eagles did too, man.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it. Look, I we all have our opinions on this, and that's a question. Like, D'Amico did not really answer it. He's just saying, hey, everybody has
not really. He just did. Yeah, period.
He didn't answer. But I actually can give him a pass on that, because to me that is always kind
more
of
a
feel for the moment, a feel for your team and how the game is going. I do just me personally. I always lean toward going for the 2 earlier, so at least you know what you're facing. You know, at least you know what you're facing in the final moments if you have to do it.
My thought process actually, as you might imagine, falls along lines with all the nerds of this. Mm-hmm. I think you go for the 2 early, but it's also because, hey, I'd rather have 2 chances at a 2-point conversion than 1 chance at a 2-point conversion. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I'd rather be
able
to...
But you also might fall into, I need a touchdown instead of a field goal. If you don't get it on the first try, you know, depending on if it's
well,
on
usually
points,
we're talking about 2 touchdown circumstances.
Whether it's 2 touchdowns or 11 points, you know. So I always say, I want to find out now.
Yeah.
I want to find out now what I'm facing at the end.
Right, of course, yeah. And that I think that's the common refrain. But I also like the idea of give me 2 opportunities to go for 2. I did appreciate. I found it interesting talking about the circumstance where we see the Texans not unveiling in the specific circumstance, but in this game. The Snover sneak, mm-hmm, as I wrote it down, but a little bit of tush push coming in for the Texans with Cade Stover under center and D'Amico Ryans was asked about going for it on third and fourth down in those circumstances. I agreed with him in the idea that he thought that Stover got the first down on that third down. I thought he did as well, but they marked it short.
I thought they were both bad marks.
You thought that they were both bad spots?
I thought they were both bad spots. But once it spotted, I knew for sure they weren't going to make it. You could see, you know, that it was well short. How do you feel just in general about the Red Rover Stover?
Is that what you're calling it? I love this. I love this as an added thing. Short down circumstances, having something, even if it's not entirely your bread and butter, but having something that you feel comfortable about was good. And in the first few times they ran it, they got some really good push.
They did.
On the offensive line. And I was like, oh, okay.
And that, from Stover.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. With Stover. And then obviously, shout out to British Brooks and Jakob Johnson behind him, giving the noted tush push, and that gives the play its name. I thought that they did a good job executing that as well, especially Ed Ingram in one of those instances.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand that. I did appreciate, though, I found it interesting that he goes, I just wanted to be aggressive. I'm an aggressive guy. And I was like, are you?
Yeah.
In going for it circumstances? Is D'Amico aggressive?
That's kind of breaking news, isn't it? That's kind of breaking news right there. But, no, I actually feel, and you brought this up during a break, I think it, you know, putting that out there, it makes a lot of teams think twice about it. And I do appreciate not having the quarterback in any type of tush push, you know, Stover push, whatever you want to call it, moment. I don't want my quarterback in that situation.
Yeah, no, it's probably better to have the tight end or somebody bigger that can do that. Or, hell, even some teams been using the Wildcat just with a, you know, running back there.
Yeah.
It's better off doing that than putting C.J. Stroud under there trying to – tush push.
Hell, the Colts did that yesterday with the Wildcat, you know, in short yardage situation. So, yeah, I don't want to see my quarterback back there. I do like that they've done this.
Lacey, I've got Lacey on the text line, 713. But why go for two twice when you only need to make it once? Well, if you get it the first time, you don't have to go for it twice.
Right.
I think the idea, though, is if you get it on that first one, then you know what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get on that first one, you have a second opportunity.
You still know what you're dealing with.
The thing is, if you don't get it that first time, the game is pretty much over because it's a two-score game still.
Yeah, but not necessarily, but I get your point. I mean, if it's –
because once the Eagles didn't make it, I'm like, oh, it's – like the way they were playing, I'm like, oh, it's over now. Mm-hmm. Like, they could pack up a little early.
We were just talking about the tush push, the Stover sneak, as I've written it down in my notes. But that sneak where you had Cade Stover, who apparently played a little quarterback in high school, per John Harris. Someone said, how do you think about it, especially in honor of Thanksgiving, the Stover stuffing?
Stover stuffing. As in Stofers?
Yeah, I think that's where it was. Stover. I don't know. I feel like we're getting a little cute there, but I appreciate if you got a better name for it, throw it out there. 713-572-4610. All right, a lot more to talk about. I think that D'Amico gave us some interesting things to reflect on as well. We'll try and circle back around to those. We're doing all of it. We're just talking about a 20-16 victory for your Texans takes you to 7-5 here on a Victory Reaction Monday. Coming up next, though, I think we got some things to talk about in what's popping, because there's some things popping in college football and Rockets get a victory. I want to talk about all that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone. Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.